Sorry, I forgot my lenses. Can someone switch on the light? For the time being. Once again, I greet you in the name of Jesus. And I will ask to say something with regard to the joy. Well, it's the joy of the Lord for us to meet today. Amen. And it's nice to be in the house of God when others are struggling. And we've made that commitment and decision to say, Lord, we shall worship you. And on this day, it's a day that you have made for us to commune with you. Amen. Once again, thank you for our chair who's been facilitating, Shelley. Wonderful work that we've done. God bless you. And want to thank the leadership for the good work that they are doing. Thank you. God bless you. And we'll also want to thank God for those that traveled for holidays. Welcome back. And we are trusting that God will watch over even those that have gone this weekend, that they will come back safely. Amen. The enemy is at work. This is the month of October, and we have to be very prayerful. And I think today we are sharing on prayer. Amen. As we continue with our series, All About Me. Amen. So, the title of today's sharing message is Prayer, Our Relationship and Communication with God. Relationship and communication with God. That's our today's title of the message. Now, before we proceed, we have to know, what is prayer? What is prayer? I was trying to look at the definition of prayer, and what I could find is just that it's a Christian communication with God. That's what prayer is. Christian communication with God. Or we can interpret it to say it's a believer's expression to God. You as a believer, as a child of God, or us as believers, we express, or the expression that we give to God, it could be in a form of thanking Him. Amen. It could be in a form of just praising Him, like we have been praising this morning. It could be in a form of worshiping Him. So it is the way we express ourselves to God. Now, like I mentioned last time, to say Christianity is a relationship and fellowship with God. And He did it nicely by sending His only Son, Jesus, to come and die for us. Amen. So that we can have that connection, that relationship with Him through His Son. And that we continue to fellowship with Him. That's all about Christianity. Now, if we are saying Christianity is a relationship, meaning we have to commune with this God. We have to be in contact with God all the time. Amen. Just like we've been encouraged in the Bible to say we have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray continuously because it's a relationship. There must be no disconnection. Once we get disconnected, then we are in trouble. The enemy will pounce on us. The enemy will start giving us negative thoughts. The enemy will start giving us fear. The enemy will start oppressing us with all wrong messages that we may hear. Now, I bumped into an article by Pastor Paula White, just talking about prayer. And in an article, I think it's 2017 article, she was saying, we have to look at the way we relate ourselves in our social circles. You know, as husband and wife, if there is no communication in the house, you know what it means. There's tension. If we've got a distant relationship, it's even worse. Amen. If we don't communicate either by phone, by social media, on any social media platform that we're using, then there's a concern. And if we stop communicating, then some people get hurt. Some people get depressed. Some people get concerned to say, my friend, probably you are, if it's in a couple, you'd think this person must have an extramarital relationship somewhere. That's why he or she's not communicating. So, prayer to God, to us, is in the same line. We have to have that constant relationship with God. We have to talk to Him. We should not just be saying, I love God. Yes, we love God. But we need to show that commitment of love to Him. Because God is love. And He wants us to be, to show love to Him and also to the people that surround us. Amen. So that's how it should be done. And now that relationship needs to be cultivated. That relationship needs to be strengthened. It cannot just be at the same level. We have to take it to another level. The same applies to us as children of God. With God, yes, when we are born again, we are still babies. But as we continue communing with this God, communicating with this God, reading the word of God, praying to Him, seeking more and more, we cultivate that relationship and we grow, you know, in our faith in Him. We grow in our relationship with Him. We grow even in the way we communicate. The prayers that we used to pray when we were maybe young or when we just got born again, which will change. They will say, this person is now mature. Because when we are born again, probably we are praying for, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. We didn't know that we need to thank Him. Amen? We need to thank Him that He's able to heal. He's able to bless us. He's able to give us victory. He's able to increase in our lives. Amen. Instead of asking, give me, and presenting with wish lists. Amen. It's through constant relationship and communication with God that we grow. And also by reading the Word of God. Amen. Now, there are different types of prayers. Different types of prayers. And in the book by Dr. David Jeremiah, entitled Prayer, the Great Adventure, I came up some of the different types of prayers. I bumped into this and said, wow, this is awesome. And before I go through the different types of prayers, but ordinarily we have to understand that even in the Bible, there are types of prayers that inquires to describe the practice of praying. Amen. For example, if you look at the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, first of all, then I urge that requests or supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Amen. Just that verse describes different types of prayers. Amen. There's a mention of requesting or making a request or supplication. There's a mention of prayers itself. There's a mention of intercession. There's a mention of thanksgiving. Amen. Now, according to the man of God, Dr. David Jeremiah, he has identified 8 types of prayers. The first one, let's just quickly go through them. The first one is the prayer of faith. And we can see it in James chapter 5 verse 15, which says, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Amen. And the Lord will raise him up. In this context, the prayer is offered in faith for someone who is sick, asking God for healing. Amen. So that's the first type of prayer. The second prayer, are you able to put it on the slide? The second type of prayer is the prayer of agreement. Amen. Also known as corporate prayer, where we give prayer like we'll be praying after the message. Amen. That's corporate prayer when we come together as in a group, maybe it's as a cell group or as a church or as a community of Hilton. Sometimes we ask for corporate prayers to meet as churches in this community or as a nation. Amen. To pray to God and cry to God together in a group. And in the Bible, from the Acts chapter 1 verse 14, we see the disciples, when they all joined together constantly in prayer, amen, asking God for guidance, especially during the establishment of the body of Christ, the church. There were a lot of persecution. There were a lot of attacks, amen, to our leaders, amen, who started the body of Christ. And they used to meet together as families in their homes. Amen. Because they were afraid of being persecuted. And they were crying to God. And we can also do the same as a church. Or we should continue doing that as a church from time to time. The other type of prayer is the prayer of request, which I mentioned, or supplication. We can take our request to God, and in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, it teaches us that we don't have to be anxious of anything. Amen? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we should present our request. Present our request before God. Amen? And God is able to answer if we present or we give our request to Him. The other example is from Acts chapter 2 verse 42. It's also encouraging the church, the Pentecost and the early church, to devote themselves to prayer. The fourth type of prayer quickly is the prayer of thanksgiving. And this is also similar to the example that we gave, where we are saying in Philippians chapter 4 verse 5 to say thanksgiving, or giving thanks to God when we present our request to God. Thank you, God, for the new day that we have made. Thank you, God, that we can come together like we prayed this morning. Amen. Just giving thanks to God without demanding or petitioning for anything. We just acknowledge Him to say, thank you, God, for the new day you have made for us. Thank you for the families that you have given us. Thank you for the leadership that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the children that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the friends. Thank you for the relationships that we have, or that you have blessed us with. Amen. The fifth type of prayer is the prayer of worship. Amen. The prayer of worship is similar to the prayer of thanksgiving. And the difference is that worship focuses on who God is. Amen. Worship focuses on who God is. He is the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is Adonai, the Lord, our Master. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who is our provider. Amen. He is Elohim, the God who is more than enough. We just worship Him like that. Amen. Alpha and Omega. And then thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. Amen. Brother Tim was mentioning about us sometimes worshiping or just praying, but appreciating the nature that God has presented. How beautiful is the nature that surrounds us, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the birds, the animals, and all these wonderful things that people see. Sometimes people have to pay money, a lot of money, to come all the way from States or Europe just to come and appreciate the nature we have in Africa. Amen. That's God's creation. And we need to worship Him through these things. The prayer of consecration. This is the sixth type of prayer. Sometimes prayer is a time of setting ourselves apart. So this type of prayer is where we say we have to consecrate ourselves for a certain period, to set ourselves apart, to say, Lord, probably we just want to fast and ask God, as we are trusting God, maybe for the pastor to lead this church, we try to consecrate ourselves, just and dedicate ourselves. Dedicate time, amen, for that kind of request. Say, Lord, we consecrate ourselves, and we need the man of God to come, and whom you have appointed to come, not whom is man appointing, but whom you have set aside to be the leader of this church. Amen. The other type of prayer is the prayer of imprecation. The seventh one is the prayer of intercession. Many times our prayers include requests for others as we intercede for them. Amen. At the end of this message, we'll be praying for other people. Amen. Those that are not feeling well, those that are going through difficult times, that's prayer of intercession. And as Christians, this is the most important prayer. And if we have been very observant in the scriptures, in the instruction that Jesus left us with, we should learn and pick a leaf from Jesus. Most of the time, Jesus was spending time praying. Most of the prayers that He was praying is to intercede on our behalf, that people may open their hearts to the Word of God. People may open their hearts to God. He was interceding night, day and night, especially night time. early in the morning or in the evening, spend the whole night just interceding, praying for us. And even now, Jesus is our intercessor. He's seated at the right hand of his Father, interceding on our behalf. Why don't we also be like Jesus and intercede on our neighbors, intercede on behalf of our leaders, intercede on behalf of our families, intercede on behalf of the lonely people, the homeless people, intercede on behalf of the people that are poor, that are in need. Amen. Intercede on behalf of our spouses so that God's grace may be upon those people and enlighten their burdens that they are going through. The last type of prayer is the prayer of imprecation. And this is found most in the book of Psalms. If people like reading the book of Psalms, you find this type of prayers. The example of that could be Psalm chapter 7, Psalm 55, Psalm 16. Those are just examples. This type of prayer used to invoke God's judgment on the wicked and thereby avenge the righteous. Amen. So the psalmist used this type of appeal to emphasize the holiness of God and the surety of his judgment. However, Jesus teaches us to pray and bless our enemies. So there's kind of, you know, opposite way of looking at it. Imprecation is asking God to say, Lord, fight for us. Punish our enemies or punish those who are disobedient to you. But Jesus came to tell us to say we need to pray for our enemies. We need to bless them, even those that are persecuting us. Amen? So we have to use our wisdom here when we are using this type of prayer of imprecation or imprecatory prayers. The Bible also speaks of praying in spirit. And we can get that example from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 to 15. That when we are praying together, I mean when we are praying and we don't have words to express ourselves, our needs to God, we can just pray in spirit and let the Spirit of God lead us. Amen. Lead us and we flow in this. If you have got that gift of praying in spirit, I encourage you to pray more often. Amen. Because it's a very important type of prayer. Now, in everything in our lives flows out of relationship. That's what I mentioned in my introduction. And our relationship to God through Christ is key. Now, how do we pray as Christians? I know all of us are mature in the Lord. We know how to pray. We can say, no, Daniel, we know how to pray. Why are you wasting time on this? But even people who were very close to Jesus, they didn't know how to pray. The disciples, they were with Jesus they were in the presence of God, God himself, but they didn't know how to pray. Even those that were following him, who were just followers, not the 12 disciples, they didn't know how to pray. And they asked God to say, how do we pray? Amen? How do we pray? And Jesus taught them this prayer in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. To 13, and this is the Lord's Prayer. It's a model of prayer. It's a guide for us that we can use as a church, as families, or as individuals on how to pray. It says, this is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, allow be your name. Our Father in heaven, allow be your name. Just that part. What does it mean? It means that we have to, in our prayer, we have to recognize God, the sovereignty of God, that he is the creator. Amen? He is our source of everything. He is our Father. There must be a relationship. Amen? As a son to the Father. So that's how we should also come before God. And we don't have to take prayer to be a casual thing. Amen. Because we are talking to the God himself, the creator of the universe, the God who created us in our own domain, in his own image. Amen. He's Abba Father. We have to honor him. Amen. We have to honor him as Abba Father. Allow be your name. It means holy and reverent. Is your name. You are the creator. Amen. There is reverence there that we have to show to say, you are Abba Father. Your kingdom come and your will be done. What does it mean? Your kingdom come and your will be done. This is the primary thrust in prayer that we should use as we desire and allow God's will to prevail in our lives. Not our will, but the will of God. Not our will, but the will of God. Most of the time when we pray, sometimes we pray trying to twist the arm of God. Amen. Maybe you are praying for something, you want to buy a farm. Amen. And then we pretend, say, oh, we have already premeditated to say, I need that farm. I need that business. I need that transaction. I need that contract to materialize. Then we start now bombarding. Lord, I know it's your will. I know it's your will, Lord, that we are blessed. I know it's your will that we prosper. I know. So that farm, Lord, give it to us. No, we are twisting God's arm. God knows our needs. Even before we pray, even before we ask him, he knows our needs. All we need to do is to ask for the will of God. Amen. That's what Jesus is telling us there. We ask for the will of God. God's intention in our prayers that we work in submission, in cooperation with him. Amen. In getting whatever we want be done for us. We should not be like pagans. Amen. Who just ask for anything, or religious people that Jesus was talking about. They just ask for anything, and if they don't get it, they think maybe they are living in sin. That's why they are not getting what they are praying for. No, let's submit, let us be submissive to God and allow God's will to prevail in everything. Even these negative reports that we received, or we are going to be praying for, people who are sick, people are going through difficult times. Sometimes we have to allow the will of God to be done. To say, Lord, if it is your will that this person dies, who are we to stop? If it's your will that this person does not get healed now, who are we to question you? Amen. We have to allow God's will to prevail in any situation that we are praying for. We should believe that whatever we have ever prayed for and received, because God had already purposed and planned to give us before we even prayed for. That should be our attitude. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. God knows our needs. Amen. That we need provisions. We need food that we may sustain our lives. Amen. So that one, he knows it and he's very faithful. He supplies all our needs according to glorious riches in Christ because he's faithful. Amen. That's what the Bible says and assures us. Verse 12. Forgive our sins as we give those who trespass against us. Amen. God can only forgive us if we forgive others. We can pray. I remember the man of God when he was leading us in the Holy Communion, he mentioned one important thing, confession. Amen. We need to pray and confess our sins. But God can, even if we confess from morning to the evening, or the whole night, if it's a prayer night, even if we confess, but if we don't forgive those who have wronged us, we are wasting our time. He cannot forgive us. Amen. So the key here, we need to forgive those people who have wronged us. We need to forgive those people who are persecuting us. We need to forgive those people who have accused us wrongly. We need to forgive our spouse. Anything that is happening in our life. Those who have slandered, those who have blamed us. Because this is the key of redemption. This is the key of salvation. When we forgive our neighbors. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. This does not mean that God can tempt us. No. He cannot, and he does not, and he will never do that. Though sometimes God allows us to be tested to show us our strength in him. He allows that. And there are many examples in the Bible. Talk of Job. The story of Job on its own. God allowed it. Not that he wanted to test if he indeed loves him. Amen. This petition also means that God will not allow us to get into areas he knows our weaknesses will not be able to stand. Otherwise we would stumble and fall. Amen. He knows our areas. Where he knows even our strength. So he cannot give us something that we cannot handle because he's faithful. Amen. So these tests, the tests that we go through, the trials, the tribulations, the hardships and temptations are important for us to walk with God. And we should not blame God. Because these are necessary for our spiritual growth. I can imagine the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were thrown into that furnace of fire. Amen. When they came out victorious, their faith was not at their same level. Amen. Even the people that witnessed that incident, their faith was not the same. The same applies to the story of Daniel. Even the king himself, Nebuchadnezzar, made a decree to say, all the gods that you have been praying to, we should stop praying to them and pray to the God of who? Daniel. Amen. So sometimes when we are going through these tribulations, when we go through storms, amen, we should not think that maybe God is the one leading us into temptation. No, he wants us to grow, that we don't remain babies in the church, in our relationship with him. We grow so that we can be a blessing to others. Encourage someone who could be going through the similar problem that you have encountered. Hallelujah. I'm remaining with 5 minutes. What are some of the hindrances to our prayers? Yes, we can pray, but there are sometimes hindrances or obstacles or causes that may God not be able to answer our prayers. Quickly, just to run through them. The first thing is sin. We've mentioned about sin, to say if we are living in sin, God cannot answer. Of course, if we repent, he's able to answer. But if we don't repent and we just continue to pray to him, God cannot answer our prayers. Amen. Unforgiveness, number two. Unforgiveness, offense, hatred, anger, rage, and short temperament. And then you go and bow, start praying to God. It cannot happen at all. God cannot answer a spirit. I mean, if our spirit is filled with rage, if your spirit is filled with unforgiveness, the spirit is filled with hatred, resentment against others, he cannot even waste his time to listen to our prayer. We are wasting our time. We need to forget about what other people have done as children of God. Amen? Anger, even if it's a and usually it's within our family circles. Amen. We pretend, oh, we are children of God when we come here. But when we go back into our homes, into our families, we start presenting different kind of characters. Amen. So we have to know that these things will cause God not to answer our prayers. Because God is faithful. He looks at the condition of our hearts. Amen. Sister Ada preached on the heart. She went even to the anatomy, the physiology of the function of the heart. And the heart is key because God is interested in our heart. He's not interested in how nice we speak, how articulate we are. He is interested in the condition of our heart. Amen. And he has said that in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. Hallelujah. The second one is wrong motivation. Sometimes we ask things in prayer that are only personal or self-centered to us. Lord, bless me that I can prove to them that I'm also somebody. Lord, bless me so that I can be able to speak. No, he cannot. If the motive is wrong, God cannot answer our prayers. So the motive has to be right. Are you asking for something that is going to touch the lives of other people instead of just focusing on yourself as a child of God? Dishonesty, insincerity, pretense, that's another thing that can hinder our prayers when we are pretending to be who we are but we are not. Amen. Disobedience is another area that can stop God from answering our prayers. Amen. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see how Saul lost his the throne that God gave him. A as the first king of the children of Israel. Why? Because he disobeyed God. So we can learn a lesson from that. And there are so many people that have lost their positions. Amen. Their integrity. You look at the story of Samson. He was disobeying God. That's why he lost the grace God had for him, and God could not even fulfill the plan that he had for Samson because of disobedience. Lack of faith is another area that can also hinder our prayers to God. So the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, amen, that therefore whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it and it will be yours. If we don't have faith in God as our Father, how can he even answer our prayers and give what we're asking for? So we must have faith to say, even as I'm praying, I know my Father is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or say. Amen? Because he's able. He makes a way for me where there is no way. Amen? With that conviction in your heart to say, no matter how the situation looks, even if it looks ugly, but with God, all things are possible. If we go before God with that kind of attitude, God will be able to answer our prayer. But if we don't have faith in him, it's a waste of time. Amen. We speak to the wind, we speak to ourselves, we speak to others, but God cannot hear our prayers where there is no faith. In conclusion, let's look at the last two verses, which is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock the door and it will be opened for us. Excuse me. Sorry. So as children of God, again, yes, we've got a right to fellowship with him. Yes, we've got a right to relate to him. But if we don't ask, we just remain quiet. God cannot answer. Amen. The Bible says, ask, you don't ask. Ask, you don't ask, and you don't receive. Amen. Seek, you don't seek, and you don't what? Find. So if we don't ask as children of God, if we don't pray to God, we don't seek him wholeheartedly, if we don't knock onto the doors and the windows of heaven to him, he cannot answer. So we've got a role to play, amen, as children of God, never to give up. We've listened to words of encouragement here to say our prayers need to be persistent, amen, meaning we don't have to give up, even if it delays. Amen. Because God has got a plan for us. He knows his right time when he's going to give that which we are asking for. So let us learn to knock. Let us learn to ask. Let us learn to seek from God. So are we asking God for anything in prayer or faith? Because that's key. We said faith is important. Or are we asking God? Are we seeking God with a prayer of faith, or are we knocking on the door of God with a prayer of faith, or just babbling? Amen. In James chapter 6, verse 13 and 17, we see the prayer of Joshua. Amen. We see a prayer that Joshua prayed to God. Amen. You can read that. I'm sure you are familiar with this word. From 15 says, a prayer offered in faith will make a sick people well, and the Lord will raise him up if they have sinned and they will be forgiven. Therefore, we should confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous is powerful and effective. Amen. So let us ask God with faith. Let us believe in God with faith, and let us continue praying to God as children of God. May God bless this word, and may God bless you. Nyabonga. We can stand and pray.